I thank those of you, the way I know that this is a praying church, I thank those of you who have prayed for me. I know God is here. The Holy Spirit will lead. And I gotta ask you to do me a favor. Don't just listen to these words with your ears. Listen with your heart and let the Holy Spirit do the speaking. So I'm going to, actually, the sermon is going to, I don't call this a sermon. This is a presentation. For those of you who know me, for those of you who don't know me, I am Chaplain Veronica. But for those of you who know me, know that I wasn't always Chaplain Veronica. If you met me in May, I was Elder Veronica. If you met me in June, I became certified and I became Chaplain Veronica. If you came by and met me in July, I became Veronica with a master's degree. That is years of praying, and that is my church family praying for me. So if you believe in the power of prayer, you're in the right place. Because if this church knows nothing else, they surely know how to pray. And God answers. God answers. For those who are close to me and know me well, you know one of the things that I enjoy most is studying. I love to study. You know, I work at Desert Vista Hospital as a chaplain. And if you know, Desert Vista Hospital is a behavioral health center. And I told the patients one day, I said, I love to study. And I said, when I study, God speaks to me. One of the patients says, hold on, chaplain. If you say that too loud, them doctors are going to put you in a bed. So you got to be careful what you say. So we have decided we'll pray for the doctors. No, because they say you're religiously preoccupied. Well, if they say that about me, they're right. But I don't think any medicine's going to cure that. I also would like to thank the ensemble. I woke up this morning, and I praised God because I woke up. You know, somebody did not wake up this morning, and somebody is crying because a relative or someone didn't wake up this morning. But I'm here to tell you, rejoice, because if that person had a heart for the Lord, we'll see him again. We'll see him again. I really need your prayers today. And I really need you, don't look at me. I need you to really, really pray for me. Because when I spoke at Gilbert, I had a whole different thing. So I thought when Tracy asked me that I'd be able to share the same thing. Well, God has a different idea about what you do. You see, I went to school to become a counselor, and I ended up being a chaplain. So when God is leading in your life, he'll tell you what to do, and things are going to work out all right. Is there anybody here that doesn't have a problem in this world that is older than 2, 3? You know, we all got it, and God is good. He will help us. So today, I want to talk to you, and Randy, it didn't start. I want to talk to you about time. God sees time as very important. I think it's very important because he mentions this 623 times in the Bible. So time must be very, very important. Time seems to fly. When I met Pastor Shane in Hadley, They didn't have any children. Now they got two running around here. When I first met Danny, he only had 3 or 4 little boys. Now those boys are helping me cross the street. And they're taller than me, you know. Well, it's amazing how time flies. You know, I went to bed and I was 35 years old. When I woke up, I was 65. So let me tell you, folks, time is important. So the title of this presentation is, What Time Is It? Anybody know what time it is? What time is it? Wait a minute. Who said that? What time is it? 12 o'clock? 5:05? Are you sure you got the right time? No. Yeah. Don't get intelligent of me. Yeah. What time is it? In these last days, we're living in the moment, not paying attention to what is ahead. We live a life that leads to a dead end. I wonder what God was thinking. As you heard Winter read, there's a time for everything. You know, we got to organize God. He's very organized. And with my disorganization, sometimes we don't connect. So we have got to see how important time is to God. Every mother and father in here knows that time stops for nobody. Jose is always telling us about his children. And if you, in my mind, when he's talking about his children, I'm thinking about these little kids. But his children are, what, 21, 25? What happened to those little kids? You know, they grow up and time waits for nobody. When you ask young people, next slide. When you ask young people, what time is it? What do they say? It's party time. That's what time it is. It's party time. And yet, the answer that came back, I'm wondering. Because 20% of teen car accident deaths happen between 9 p.m. and midnight. Get this. And 56% occur on what days? Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's when those deaths occur. So, where are the examples? The examples is the old folks are doing the two-step. The young folks are kicking up their heels, and the ones in between are getting married. Of course, we don't want to miss the fact that financial anxiety hits us all at one time or another. What time is it, folks? What time is it? Hit it once more. This is the life that we have, and it takes us to a dead end. The question is, should all parents worry about the children's partying? The millennial generation is who we're talking about. Should we be worried? Do they know what time it is? Those of you that yelled out 12 o'clock, you were just telling me to hurry up because it's time for lunch, right? But I promise, I won't keep you for dinner. What time is it? We're going to try to find out just what time it is. This accident happened just last week in Phoenix. Young people driving. Remember Noah? Hit it again. Matthew 24, 37 to 40. Now, don't look it up in your Bible, but I want you to read it with me. I want you to help me to read this, okay? I want everybody to read at the same time. Help me. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and no, until the flood came. So, did you get it? Did you get what was going on in Noah's day? So what's going on in our day? I guess this is... Now, Noah preached how long? Now, if I got to preach to you guys 120 years, forget it. I want you to hear it now, right? They, 120 years. They heard him with his ears, with their ears, but they didn't hear him with their heart. And they didn't know that the storm was coming until when? Till it came. I wonder how many could swim. You know, I don't want that to happen to us. I don't want us to just hear these words with our ears. Please, hear the words with your heart. According to these people, there was no emergency. They had never seen rain. They didn't know what rain was. Was that a reason not to believe Noah? You know, Jesus preached. Pastor Shane preached. Everybody has preached the Jesus is coming again. I've heard you guys singing. Jesus is coming again. But you haven't seen him. Is that any reason not to believe it? You know, what's interesting about Jesus is he will tell you, they tell you what is coming. They'll tell you how to work with it. Only if you hear it with your heart. The decision is yours. Jesus is not going to come down here and shake you and say, believe in me. That's not going to work. You have to make that decision. Did you know, and I didn't know this until I read it, that God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. What time period are we talking about? Noah, he told Noah this. What time period are we talking about? Doesn't it sound a lot like our time period? You know the blessing in this? Noah did everything just as God had commanded him. Have you done everything God commanded you? And guess what? Noah was 600 years old when the floods came. 600 years old. Everything has a time. As Winter read so well, I want to go back over that again. Let's look at the time and what God has for us during this time. There's a time for everything. A season for every activity under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Wait, did God miss something in there? I don't see a time to party. Did God make a mistake? I don't see a time to party in there. I know you're going to say, oh, Veronica, I heard you young people. I heard you thinking. You're thinking, you're saying, Veronica, you just don't want me to have no fun. Oh, yes, I do. God's people should always have fun. Yes, I work at the hospital, and I enjoy giving hope to the hopeless, giving faith to the ones who have lost their faith. I love going to Arizona Sunshine, meeting people that don't really know the Lord, and having the opportunity to pray with them. Do you know that I pray with anywhere from 85 to 100 people in those 3 days that was there at Arizona Sunshine? Boy, was I blessed. As you read in your Sabbath school lesson, God needs missionaries. So, what is going on in this world today? Have you been listening to the news? You know, I have avoided the news because it's so discouraging sometimes. I just totally like to avoid the news. But when I get in the car, the news is on. And I always hear what's going on. I think that's about enough news for me. I always hear what's going on. In fact, when I look at my phone, there's the news. Do you know that everyone knows something is happening. Everyone knows something is going to happen. Remember 9/11? You know, men's hearts are failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven will be shaken. Matthew 24:29. Christ is coming again. How do you think the Lord looks at us today when he looks at earth? How do you think he feels when he looks at us today, his creation? You know what I'm glad about? That God is not going to save me with a group. He's not going to save me with his family. He's going to save me as an individual, just as he's going to save each one of you individually. Praise God. So if my father sinned, it's not on me. But if I make it into the kingdom, my son can't make it on my back. You have to make that decision. Christ is coming in the clouds with great glory. A multitude of shining angels will attend him. He will come to raise the dead and change the living saints from glory to glory. He will come to honor those who have loved him and keep his commandments and to take them to himself. He has not forgotten them, nor his promises. There will be a relinking of the family chain a little longer, and he will wipe away all tears from our eyes. But can you imagine? He'll wipe away his own tears. God loves us, and look at what he's done for us. What time is it? We need to know what time it is. Don't look at that clock because it's not telling you the truth. What time is it? The time is in your heart. I'm going to need you to help me one more time. You know, picture Jesus sitting on the mountainside talking to the disciples. What do you think they were asking? They had all kinds of questions, and Jesus answers those questions. They wanted to know about the future. He answered it. Read this with me, too. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass. But the end is not. When is the end? Not yet. For a nation will rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. And there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of sorrow. Boy, but it sure seemed like the end to me. When you think about all these things, it feels like the end. But the Bible said the end is what? Not yet. Not yet. Headlines tell us that it's not yet. Because there is war going on all around the world. And if they're not having a war, there's a rumor of war. There are wars going on. And folks, we need to prepare for war. God, every nation around here has its own army. God needs an army. Are you ready to stand up and say, yes, I'll be in God's army and I will fight sin? What time is it, folks? What more can I tell you? Well, I can tell you this. Change the song. I can tell you this. Hit it again. Guess what? The Pope is coming to town. Coming to the U.S. Where's he coming to? He's coming to the U.S. What state? Pennsylvania. What city? Why do you think he chose that? Yes, brotherly love. The Pope. This Pope is much different than the other popes we've had. This Pope is a new world Pope. He's got ideas in his head. Does that mean anything to you? Does that mean anything to any one of us? The Pope is coming to town. What do we need to be doing? What can we do? He's coming to the state of brotherly love. Jesus is coming, folks. Jesus is coming soon. I could stand here and tell you that next week Jesus is coming. Will you believe me? Why? What does that say? Oh, that didn't come out as good. But it says, but of that day, an hour, no one knows, not even the angels know. Only my Father. Hit the button again. Only my Father knows. My Father knows. So, is it possible for Jesus to come next week? Oh, yeah, it's possible. But I can't tell you when, because I don't know. And if the angels don't know, then I know I'm not going to know. Jesus is coming again. Yet, sad to say, the law of God has been ignored. Why is the law of God ignored? Why? Because it's the same as what that happening in Noah's day that is happening today. And we forget about everything else. But as in the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and not know until the flood came, took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man. Are you going to wait till the coming of Jesus before you volunteer for his army? I don't think so. I've told you what it's like today. And I would be amiss if I don't give you some good news. And the good news is, Jesus is coming again, whether you're ready or not. Did you hear me? Jesus is coming again, whether you are ready or not. Hear me. Not here. Here. Hear me. Know that Jesus is coming again. Hit the button. What do we need to do? He's knocking at the door of your heart now. That's why you need to hear with your heart, not just your ears, not just with your intellect. Hear with your heart. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart, and only you can let him in. What do we need to be doing? First thing, we need to study. That's my favorite thing to do. So, of course, you really need to study, right? But what should you be studying? The news? Hey, the Lord gave us time prophecies. Why? He said it 623 times, I think that's right. 623 times in the Bible. Time. There must be something behind that. And if you're going to study, you need to be studying about the time. Because Jesus is coming again. You know, God gave us a commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And what are we supposed to do? Baptize them. In whose name? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We're supposed to. Are you guys out there doing that? Are you out there telling people that Jesus is coming again and that we need to be getting ready? Hit it again. Jesus doesn't ask much of us. He gave us a commission. But one of the other things that he gave us is that we can have faith in him. We can trust. We can trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. We can do that. You know, these little kids, the little ones that we've seen up here, we got the most beautiful kids in the world, I'm telling you. They come up here and they know there's a story coming. Not one of those kids are worrying about lunch. It's the older folks are worried about lunch. But they know you're going to feed them. They know they're going to get a bath. They know they got a nice warm bed. Well, folks, in some places, that's not true. But our kids are beautiful. And you want to know what God wants of you? Watch your child. Watch what you've taught them. And you will know God loves you, as those children do. Hit it again. You know, what time is it? Heaven's angels are keeping the time. Not me. They're making that time. They keeping record of that time. And when the time comes, we must be ready. On 1 Peter 4:7, it says, all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. Where are we going to start? Where are we going to start? We're going to start with our message. You know, in the Sabbath school lesson this morning, it said Jesus told them, start in Jerusalem. That was right where they were. But we're going to start where? Here. I got to start with me. And you got to start with you. That's where we're going to start. Love one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. That's a lot of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received the gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Oh, I got a study on grace that someday I'm going to have to share with you. God has given us much grace. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Straight from the Bible, we start with ourselves. Well, folks, I have to show you the portion. I have already shown you the portion of where we are today. The bad news is you cannot give it to the whole world individually. And you know what? God doesn't expect that. That's not what he's expecting. He's expecting you to witness where you are today. At home. You go to the grocery store, don't you? You go to work. You have every opportunity to witness for the Lord. So we may not be able to go out into the world and witness, but praise God, we can witness where we are. Jesus is coming again. Are you ready? We can give the world the opportunity to know Christ. And how would he know him? They know it through us. We can be examples to the world, no matter where we are. Mazella told me this morning, she said, remember to pray for that clerk who got arrested for standing for her religious right. Everybody heard that, didn't they? What'd you think about that? Did you know the day is coming that every one of us is going to have to stand for our religious beliefs? In my church family, let me tell you, if you want to know what it's like to stand for your religious beliefs, just ask Sherman. He'll tell you all about it, trying to keep the Sabbath. It's not going to be easy, and I'm not going to tell you it is. Life is easy now, but it's going to get harder. It's going to get harder. Do you have a God in heaven that loves you? Do you believe there's a God in heaven that loves you? Is he going to help during that time of trouble? Do we have any need of worry? And my favorite writer, she says, Christ loved the human race, and this love impelled him to sacrifice his own happiness for the good of others. He took upon himself human nature in order that he might unite divine power with human weakness. Why should we be afraid? Although it cost him a great sacrifice, he was willing to humble himself in order that he might elevate humanity and make all who believe in him sharers of his own blessings, honor, and glory. Revelations of his love are among the great secrets that eternity will reveal. It's going to take that kind of love is just something hard for us to understand. You know, in Sabbath school today, somebody says, we don't do like they did back in those days. Will you sell everything and give to the church? You know? Well, it's different today. I'm not sure. I'm not sure it's different today. If we got a great God in heaven that's going to help us, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? Amen. Tell you something. Men are demanded in these times. But wait a minute. I'm sorry I went wrong. Okay. Another thing we have to do for ourselves, we got to submit ourselves. What does it say? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Hit the button again. And he will flee from you. What will happen to the devil? But submit to who? And the devil will do what? Do I have any fear of the devil?
No.
Nah. You know, my patients are all mentally ill. And one day, I've told this, and please, I'm sorry if it's, I'm repeating myself again to those of you in this, our Sabbath school class heard it before. But one of the patients said to me one day, "Chaplain, doesn't it bother you that I worship the devil?" Well, I'm going to tell you, I wasn't quite ready for that one. But I looked up, and he was sitting there, and I was getting ready to leave. So I'm standing, and he said that. And he looked at me. He was waiting for an answer. And I said, "No, that doesn't bother me. I worship God, and he's stronger." He said, "Oh." He wasn't sure what to say after that. He said, "Oh, where did that come from? Hey, I don't know. That had to be God." So as the days of Noah, time is important. Will you be ready for Jesus to come? Are you expecting the return of Jesus? You know, men must be led to inquire a solemn interest. What shall I do to be saved? False, unfaithful shepherds are crying peace and safety. Soothe the conscience of those who need to be alarmed for their own soul's sake. The voice and pen of God's faithful servants must be employed that those who are at ease may be aroused with the warning. He wants us to be aroused with the warning. We need to understand that what we need to do to be ready. What time is it? Men are demanded in these times who will not betray the truth, who will not yield to any god but God. The trumpet must give a certain sound, clear and sharp. The people and words of solemn importance must be spoken in no hesitating manner. The time of night must be sounded all along the lines, clear and distinct. The truth must come to the people in the spirit and power of God, that the church and the world may be aroused from their carnal slumber. My prayer today is that this study will arouse your hearts and bring an awareness of the end of time. What time is it? You know, when I wrote this, when I was doing this study, I learned some things that I didn't know. Skip that. We need to remember the Sabbath day. We need to keep it holy. Are we doing that? What does it mean to you to keep the Sabbath day holy? You know, one more, Randy. Hit it again. Some people think that going to church on Sabbath is keeping the Sabbath day holy. Do you come to church with something else on your mind? If you're going to keep the Sabbath holy, what is on your mind is, how can I make it to heaven? I need to hear how I can make it to heaven. I'm not here for entertainment. I'm here to know and get directed so that I can make it to heaven. For when they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon the earth. None will escape, save those who watch and keep their garments white. Nobody's going to escape. We're at the end of time. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." You know, when I was coming up, you used the word fool. You could get a backhand from my mom. And you can get punished from my dad. We were never allowed to use the word fool pertaining to somebody. But this is very appropriate. Who is the fool? When Jesus is coming in the clouds of glory, when the sky is all lit up, where will you be? Are you going to be going towards him? Or are you going to be like this man, running away from him? You must not only be watching and waiting, but praying and working. Have on the wedding garment. The third angel's message embraced more than just the finite mind of man. Comprehension. Consider, the earth is to be lighted with his glory. The truth must be published far and extensively than it yet has been. It must be defined in clear and sharp minds before the people. Yeah, I had another sermon called "Are You There Yet?" We have 237 nations around this world. We Seventh-day Adventists are in 216 of them. We are 21 short of being completely around the world. 21 nations short. You know, every nation needs soldiers, folks. Are you going to be soldiers for God? We got to get those 21 nations. Quite frankly, I have an ulterior motive. I want to go home. I want to go with Jesus. I want to see what heaven's like. Let's get busy. Let's get busy and do what God has called us to do. You know, we have an evangelistic meeting coming up. Have you volunteered yet? It's a part of your mission. Have you done what you need to do for your part? This is not just Jeff's thing. This is not Pastor Shane's thing. This is governed by the Lord himself. Now, if Jesus stood up here and told you to volunteer, how many of you think would volunteer? Everyone. Well, let me tell you, Jesus is behind all of this. In comparison to the numbers that reject the truth, those that receive it will be very small. But one soul is of more value than worlds beside. We must not become discouraged, although our work does not seem to bring large numbers. Although the greatest proportion of the world will reject the truth, some will accept it, and some will respond to the drawing power of Christ. Those in whose hands the reading matter is placed may turn from the light and refuse to obey the convictions of conscience, but the messenger they despise. Through the power of God, though the power of God may fall into the hands of others and be as meat in due season to them. You know, some may think it's silly to hand out these little pieces of paper, the glow. But do you know that little glow is going to save somebody? You know? When my kids were really little, we went to the airport before they had all the restrictions. We were at the airport, and we had a bunch of desire ages that we gave out. There was a lady in a wheelchair, and I gave that lady the desire of ages. What is this? I don't need this. And I'm going, really? She's in a wheelchair and she's smoking a cigarette and she doesn't need Christ? So I figure, okay, she didn't want it, that's fine. I just took it to the lady that was sitting over here. I'll never forget that lady. She was a red-haired lady. And she was sitting with her head bowed. And my first thought was, I wonder if she'll take it. And I went up and I said, maybe you'd like some reading material. And she looked up at me and I handed her the Divages. And then my thought was, run before she could give it back. Hurry up, get out of there. So I hurried up and I got out of there. And I gave Steps to Christ to one of the boys who was helping with the bags. And before I could get any further, that woman came running up the stairs. I said, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I knew I was in trouble. And she said to me, why did you give this to me? And I thought, I'm waiting for her to throw it back at me, right? She says, I don't know why you gave it to me, but I needed this. This is what I was looking for. Oh, praise God, because I didn't know what was going to happen. You know, I'm coming to an end now. I want you to know that the Lord prayed for you. He didn't pray for just the group. He didn't pray for just the family. He prayed for individuals. What time is it, folks? What time is it? Are you ready for Jesus to come? Wake up! Now. Are we sleeping? Wake up! Time for Jesus to come. I want you all to be ready. I don't know about you, but I'm making my fair. I want to go. It's time to go to heaven. And I'm not worrying about anything else. My future is already in the hands of God. Amen? Amen. Where is your future? In the hands of God, right? So no matter what the problem is, no matter what has happened in your life, you have a great God in heaven that loves you more than any man on this earth could love you. And he keeps his promises. He promised to be with you. He's promised to be with me. What time is it, folks? It's time for me to quit. I want to tell you that I know the power of God. He's been in my life.